I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you, and it is wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, that was such a great choice that you surprised me because...
I know.
That was really yes. beautiful. Well, first, I just want to say hello to everybody, and I noticed Goldie put up this beautiful great blue heron picture on the show pictures and then the sun, and that's a beautiful choice. And then right before we went on the radio, we were talking about the sadness and the disturbance and the, of the Aurora shooting in Colorado. And I was feeling it, and I was feeling like, you know, how could people just be so harmful to others? And then she played that song, and I was like, oh, I needed that. You know, it's so beautiful, and it's got such a sweetness to it. And the irony of this is that I smiled because that was the song I chose to play after the vows in my marriage.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when we walked down the aisle after the ceremony, that was the song that played.
I did not know that.
No,
nice.
You didn't know that, but I was thinking, but you know, it's just a pure, simple, beautiful song, and I really needed to hear that after our discussion that we were just having, because I do feel really sad for humanity and people, and you know,
yeah,
and then it was just like it reminded me, okay, there's sweetness and there is beauty, and I'm trying to think that I was thinking of that today, and this wasn't to do with the Aurora, you know, Colorado shooting, but I was just thinking that, you know, there are choices to be made, even when I'm working with people, and I think more than ever there's an opportunity, even for people like who have been abused as children, and I go, and if, like, I was hearing myself have a conversation with somebody, you know, and it was, you know, somebody, it was like not no one in particular, but it was like, there's a choice that you can make. You can make, you can focus on the beautiful of what's, and take those times through your life, and you become, you turn them around and they become transformative and you transcend them. And I was just thinking about, you know, movies, films, music, and what is it about them that, like, we were talking about, I was talking about Dances with Wolves when he rides out in the field with his arms wide open. And, you know, I was just thinking about how things can be transcended. And you know, I guess to me, it seems as though it's a choice, and maybe that's not really true because it only can be a choice when you have that ability to make a choice rather than be your own, quote, victim of not making a choice. Because I guess, you know, you're empowered when you're able to make a choice, right?
Definitely.
Right. So my choice would be...
But I just got to note that that's a fine line because even being a victim is a choice.
But I'm saying, I guess the encouragement for me is that, you know, which way you want to go. It's like, you know, and we could talk about it, but it is rising above, and I choose the transcendence of the polarity. Yeah, and it's like, but that is a choice, and I guess I'm able to choose that, so then I go, well, you've come a long way to be able to choose that, you know.
That's not just something
that happens out of, you know, you got to go through the hot kitchen a number of times, I believe. But I guess the beauty of my experience of going through those hard times and then coming through is that I can offer that and I can encourage people and go, look, there's a choice. You can, you know, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to stay victim. I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. So anyway, it's been like one of those, you know, like you said, Jay, you say something, you're the feeling, I'm like, I'm feeling a lot. But
it's not a bad thing.
It's not a
right
bad
on.
Thing.
Right on,
it's
right on.
It's just a real, you know, there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing wrong with feeling so much. It's just, you know, my capacity to feel it, define it, and then sort of, you know, not just stay fixed in it. It's like, a passing. It's like passing through, you know, so.
Right.
So, but anyway, thanks for the song.
Oh, no, my pleasure. And I was going to mention it to you when we were talking, and I realized just because I downloaded about 8 songs from all different spaces of, you know, like, you know, just Got to Be Real is one of the songs. Damned If I Do is one of the songs. Let It Be is one of the songs. You know, and I was like, all week, you know, I was like, oh, you know, should I put the song in? Should I put the song in? And I was like, you know what you should do? You should, the day of. When we do the show, whatever day we do the show, that's the day. And because, you know,
great,
you know, thank you. You know, because it really is, you know, this morning I woke up being very clear on something. And as we talked last week that, you know, clarity is an experience. It's funny, my clarity was showing me that polarity, you know, not only exists, but polarity right now is intense on both sides. We are living in the center of the paradox right now. And there is a way to flow and to be in the paradox where we can allow ourselves to experience really sad, painful experiences, such as, you know, the shooting in Colorado, as well as moments of clarity that you you know yourself to be birthing a consciousness that has never been before in this cosmos. You know, there's no getting around for any of us, and I feel for anything. I believe the animals are going through this, the plants, the minerals, every element down to its basic neutrino. You know, is if you're in the dimension of the physical world, we're going to experience the polarities. So it's, you know, we kind of started this a little bit, you know, last week, and I mean, shucks, we've been talking about this, you know, the whole time, because it's about, okay, so we got to get out of the either or space. It's not this or that, it's this and that. You know, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. It's a direct knowing. Simultaneously, it's a direct not knowing and total mystery. And to be in the acceptance of both of those spaces having tremendous value in our experiences right now, tremendous value. And I had said to Janine earlier, like, because I woke up today and I was like, I was having, you know, thoughts of letting the radio show go, not doing it anymore, just going, hey, guys, it's been real, taking some time off, don't want to talk no more. Give me my bat and ball, I'm going home. and that thought was coming from the fear that, you know, what are you doing, Goldie? What are you doing? What are you, you know, just the fear that the things that I'm sharing are, you know, I mean, in all honesty, cockamamie bullshit. You know, like, you know, I'm just not believing in myself, having tremendous doubts. And then it would swing where, you know, and I was like, you know, I decided, I was like, well, listen to a show, because, you know, I want to kind of share with the audience that for the last 3 weeks, the radio show has taken a tremendous momentum in our archives, where between 200 and 300 people are listening to the shows a week. And there's an interesting effect on me personally where I get very excited by that, but I also then doubt myself, you know, 200 times more of what it is I'm sharing, and do I know? I don't know. You think you know, and so, you know, and I love it because every time I listen to the show, whether it's last week or, you know, 6 months ago that we've done, you know, it's really always just, it's what's going on in the moment. It's kind of like, you know, we're kind of like the psychological, spiritual update of the moment of my life and Janine's life. And, of course, the callers that share in. And even the audience that's listening but not calling in, because energetically, Janine and me and everyone, we're also empathic. We're talking about the things that the people are tuning in are feeling and experiencing and thinking about, and that's why it's coming out of us, because there's a community here, which, of course, when my swing swung into the positive, that was something that I was like, wow, we are building a community here. And it's, I understand that, you know, it's a technology community in the sense of that, you know, we're doing it through the computer and through the radio. But that's it's no less real to me. I mean, I feel us, I'm witnessing myself go through, you know, tremendous polarity just in my own experience of the confidence of knowing I'm giving birth to to a new species of human beings, and you know, and the doubt that, you know, that I'm going to make it till tomorrow. You know, I was watching this show, this movie with my brother last night, which was actually pretty amazing. Me and him have not been close for a while, and some shifting going on with my relationship with him. And there was a line in the movie, a cop was saying to a jewel thief, you know, all right, well, I'll come back tomorrow to, you know, to get that information. And the jewel thief goes, no one's promised the tomorrow. Or tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And, you know, I mean, it was like, boom! I mean, it just, that line just really kind of, it just went into my being. And it was like, wow, you know, the intensity that we're living now, it has a lot to do with that there is no promise of tomorrow, but okay. And then the polarity of that is, but there's a promise of eternalness, which is, you know, really a never-ending now. You know, so there's no promise of tomorrow, but, you know, death is an illusion. And there's just a lot of the things that we were taught intensely being experienced, and it really is everything we've been taught, not just the good stuff, not just the bad stuff, but I mean the illusion, the truth, it just all seems to be showing up in our experience. And as Eckhart Tolle would say, which, bless Eckhart Tolle, can you be the space for that right now? Can you be the space for both sides of the polarity? Because I really feel that in the being the space for it, there we rise above the actual sides of left and right, up and down, right and wrong, good and bad, into the consciousness of that which we're birthing. So, you know.
But you know, it's funny because I'm following you, and it's like, ooh, this is all kind of new stuff I'm listening to, you know, and I'm loving it because, I mean, we were just talking earlier today, and I knew some of your experience, but then a lot of this that you're saying right now is, you know, it just feels all kind of like new, which is just so great because I'm taking it in, and it's like, wow, you know, I can feel what you're saying, and one of the things I'm noting, because the kind of like, oh, I don't even know if I want to do the radio show. See, that's funny because I may do that with other ways, but for the radio show, something about it feels so natural and right for me. Because what you just the last 10 minutes of you talking once again validated that, because I enjoy so much following what you say, and then it's like I'm feeling the subtleties of it all, and there's like an art to this, which is, you know, I'm tracking you in a way. And right on. What you said was, and I just wanted to give this back to you, that although you might go back and forth with like the, you know, maybe I won't do the radio show anymore, which all of it's fine, you know, it's like, but your swings, whether you know it or not, that there's subtlety to it. It's because even this morning when we spoke, I mean, you were expressing all this different stuff to me, but it was none of it was like this, nothing was desperate. It was just it was like we were talking, but it was all subtle to me. Then, you know, and it's like, well, maybe I'll give up the radio show. Well, maybe, who knows? And I'm like, yeah, who knows? But there was no angst to it. It was just this there was this processing going on, but it wasn't frightening. It was just sort of wondering, and you know,
right on,
yeah,
right on,
maybe,
babe. Right,
yeah,
on.
And I'm. You know, this is why I love doing the show, because it's like Yeah, I'm. It's fun for me to sense all that's going on, including with myself, because, you know, right before the show, I was like, in thinking about the whole Aurora thing, Denver, you know, the shooting, you know, I was feeling that when we were talking about it, and then you play this beautiful song, and this was the song I chose when I was 25. I personally chose this song, not John, you know, who I'm right. no longer married to, which really is irrelevant to the fact that this was a beautiful song that I chose after, you know, we said, yes, we'll stay married forever. But yeah, see how life is? And so yeah, it's like, but here I am. And wait, this is so fantastic because I was 25 then. I'm 57 now. I don't know. You do the math because, and it's like.
22, which is a master number.
Here the song comes up again in a spontaneous radio show that I had no idea I'd be doing in 2012 with Golden Hawk, you know. And there's a beautiful quality to these subtle things that are completely unpredictable. And I will, you know, I just still go, look at that. That's, you know, I was feeling, you know, the sadness of why people hurt other people. And then you play that song, and that's a song from when I was 25. It was more like honey than it was anything that I would, you know. The response for me wasn't like, oh, I can't believe that that's the song when I got married and I'm not married anymore. No, there's none of that. It was beautiful. I was like, oh, how did she know? I love that song. It was so sweet, you know. And so you know, I mean, in all this stuff that's going around, and it's true, the polarities of, you know, there's people that feel that we shouldn't harm anything and anyone, and then there's people doing crazy stuff and harming lots of people. And, you know, so that's all out there. And, you know, and then there's this ability, you know, to hold the space which I think, you know, I'm glad that you and I in our moments can do that, because if there's any gift that I would love to give to anyone listening, it's that, you know, that between the two, you know, like there's this place that you can hold that I think is the most powerful place, which is, it's not on the right, it's not on the left, it's in the center and slightly above, and, you know, it's where you can really make a difference. You can make a difference with yourself, and you can make a difference here, you know.
It's the point of paradox. It's the center of the paradox.
Yeah.
And I love when you said slightly above. It's like, oh, man, exactly.
Because
it's not just, Einstein said, right? You can't solve the situation at the same level it was created.
Right,
so that little
right.
slightly above is just,
slightly
it's a
above.
Curb. Yeah, you could just step on the curb. you don't gotta, you know, do 144 levels up the Empire State Building. Just step on the curb.
Right on. You know, so, you know, and you and I, this is an ongoing, alive process that, you know, and to me, you don't get any better than that. I mean, that's really, to me, you don't get any better than that. You know,
you have no idea how much that means to me, because I love you being happy on the radio. Nothing. That is very much a part of my joy is you being happy here, truly. And you were a part of my processing in all this. You were, you know, and just my own personal inside internal time. You know, because, of course, I have a partner now. You know, it's not just, you just don't leave a radio show when you have a, you know what I mean? There's a marriage of some level going on, and clearly a commitment.
Right.
that so it would never, you know, I would never just anyway say,
"Hey,
hey babe,
way.
I'm out."
Just so you know, I'm good at commitment.
Yeah, you're phenomenal at commitment. And you're helping me be good. And the commitment of being in the center slightly raised. It's like that's the ultimate space of commitment, you know, within,
yeah.
Without, the point of paradox. So I love that. I love that the song touched you. I love it because it lets me know that even in, you know, because I literally said to Janine today when we got off the phone, right before we got off the phone, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go back on my swing, you know, as I'm, you know, because I'm like swinging through doubt and confusion and knowing and trusting and then back into doubt and yet the song came through. And I could feel it the moment the first chord hit when the show started. I was like, oh, this is so good. Because I can feel you when you go into your,
mm-hmm.
you know, that painful space of feeling mm-hmm. the world's pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel what, and I know you feel that deeply. And as soon as those first chords, I was like, oh, look. A little, yeah, it was like Stardust on Janine.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's nice. And of course, I didn't even... I didn't realize that at the time that it would have that effect in the now moments of the show. So, I mean, it's a swing. It's a swing for all of us. And I think when we know that it's for all of us, you know, it kind of alleviates this, am I doing it wrong? Or, you know, I don't kick myself in the butt anymore and go, You know, come on, snap out of it, Goldie. You know, you got to feel good. You know, that's why some of these, you know, posts about the ascension of, you know, I've read people saying this is not a time to feel your darkness. And I'm like, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be standing to the right or the left, but not slightly above in the center, because that's choosing.
Right.
More important to go, hey, whatever you're feeling is authentic, you know, feel it. Because, you know, I just feel that today you were feeling, but see, those are the things like, like I was saying to someone, don't be afraid of feelings. That's like,
exactly.
In other words, if you're afraid of feeling the feelings, then that means you're afraid of yourself. So I'm like, wait,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make sense to me. So, and who would wish that for anybody? It would be like, no, you know. And one of the things I loved what you just said was, you said, am I doing it right? Am I, you know, and I thought, see, now to me, that is so beautifully vulnerable and honest and open that, like, that is, to me, the treasure. Like, it's not about, hey, and I'll tell you right now, I know I'm doing it right. And I'm like, ugh. You know, it's like, come on. You know, that's nice. But, you know, when someone said to me, like, well, I'm scared, or, oh, I really like that person. I wish they wanted to have lunch with me. I go, I just admire people when they can be that beautifully open and honest and vulnerable. Like, I would so, you know what I mean? That's such a welcome, beautiful human quality. And so, So anytime it's probably, you know, and I know you appreciate this about me, but when I hear those things and people say them, I bring them to their attention if it's like, you know, kind of we're on a radio show or,
yeah, but even if you're just in conversation, I know you're
right, or if somebody's really
in
earnest conversation with me, you know, where I feel that I'm not, you know, overstepping my boundaries, but I will show them how beautiful that is, as opposed to the fact that that would be a repellent statement, according to some people. And I'm going,
right.
Oh, no,
right.
That is open and beautiful, honest and vulnerable. And you know what? That's the way through the door. You know, it's like that is your ticket. You know, it is. It's that
vulnerability. That's the ascension.
It is, because it's authentic and it's open. You know, you asked me, Jay, what's your highest potential possibility? I'm like, to be open.
Right.
You know? And
right on.
So, you know, I all the swinging you've been doing today is...
I mean, like, a little nauseous and a little headache.
No, but it's like those cool metrodomes, you know, with music. Like, you know?
Yeah. Right, I'm setting a tempo.
Yeah, and it's not chaotic, you know. It's not desperate. It's Goldie. It's totally in sync, actually.
Okay, share more on that, because see, I love it that we haven't talked all week. But meaning there's beauty in that, because how many times have I said to you, God, this should be recorded how we have our conversations? I mean, because this is live and in, you know, in, because, okay, so why is it in, even though it, I feel
you're
what you're saying.
Back and forth, and you're, you know, that was really funny this morning when you go, okay, well, I'll be on my swing all day. And then, you know, you were feeling, you know, you, and then, you know, whether it was yesterday, we spoke briefly, and then, the blue heron flew right over my head, which was awesome. And, you know, but even in the back and forth and the wondering of, you know, am I doing it right or what, you know, I don't feel a chaos and I don't feel a desperateness there. I think that there is a sort of metrodome kind of pace there. Like, and there is something like in sync with the now, where you're letting yourself do that and you're not fighting it. Because, see, I think the angst comes from when people fight these things. You know, I don't think the feelings are necessarily the enemy. I think it's the resistance to them that's the enemy. You know what I mean? Like, I'll notice,
the minute I
say to someone, well, what's wrong with that? You know, that's a good feeling. Like, let yourself feel that. It's not, you know, it's not the panic attacks and the need for medication don't seem to me to come from the feelings that they're having. I think it's from the resistance to the feelings. And it's like, why are you fighting these feelings? Have them. I think that's when the body goes into revolt and has panic attacks and then goes, and someone goes, well, you know, I think you should medicate that, because why would you resist? You know, if I do say to someone, let yourself feel that. You know what? The panic attacks go away because you're not fighting it anymore. It's a process. Why would you stop the process? The process will take you where you need to go. You know, so you're...
Brilliant, David. It's just brilliant.
Thanks. Because your discussion with me over... They were beautiful. They were back and forth. They were like... You know, musical.
Schizophrenic, yes. Schizophrenic.
No. See, it wasn't schizophrenic, though. That's what I'm trying to say. But even though, you know, that word has a whole other world for me, because I was always going, you know, what is that? You know, I do understand that there's levels and levels and levels. But no, this was not schizophrenic to me. This was just, you know, the back and forth of the polarity and the, you know, you even found the right topic to look at when, what was his name, the man who you sent me the article about?
Oh, Tom Kenyon.
That was so right on about, you know, the pyramid where the two polarities are on the base. And that's, I mean, you know, I said slightly above because I'm going, just raise yourself up a little bit so that, you know, you can kind of oversee the bigger picture. But, you know, I do think that your interpretation, and I almost think, I mean, I don't think you really think it was schizophrenic. It's just sort of an adjective to me.
Yeah, it's schizzy, just schizzy.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like, I can't hold, I was noticing I couldn't hold my attention for, like, longer than 3 minutes. You know, I would be reading an email, I'd have an article open, I'd have YouTube and Facebook on, and I am, you know, literally, not when I'm on the phone with Janine, but on my own time, you know, like, okay, I'm reading the article, and 2 minutes later, I'm flipping over to the YouTube, and I'm listening to that for a few minutes, flipping it back over to Facebook, and cruising to it, and it was like, I was just all over the place. Because I just want to add one other thing to what you said. I mean, because I love what you're saying, that it's important to feel these things. It's also important not to act, because it wasn't like I called you up and said today, all right, I want to cancel the show.
Right.
We're done.
That's why I say there was some, you know, there was a, you know, it was, it, I mean, yes, it wasn't desperate. It wasn't, it was just.
Because that's part of not resisting, in other words, but that's also swinging too far to the, in other words, resisting is it takes you out of center, but also acting in the moment of these, you know, because it feels irrational. It does, you know, but yet I was feeling it, you know, or thinking it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of.
And I think, so, like, from my perspective, this is in this time, but it's been going on for a while, but it's becoming more, you know, I think more and more sensitivity to it, that there is becoming a different, newer way of being where even it might feel irrational. And yet, that just might feel irrational because it's new. You know, like, you might be processing and 1 minute this and that, you know, but I'm just saying that there's all these new, to me, kind of defining feelings, thinkings that are happening where we almost don't have the language for them right now. Or
I agree.
Okay, so, and I'll give you an example of this irrational thing, because first of all, the deep feminine nature by its nature has a irrational quality, because it's so deep and so powerful that to become comfortable with the irrational is really great, because it's not necessarily irrational. It's just, we define it as that. It's kind of
going into
the depths. You know, it's like being in the not knowing, knowing place is almost could be defined as irrational, but actually that's old language. You know,
right.
Because it's almost that ability to hold that space where all of a sudden you will find a new word that is like, whoa.
Well, because you'll find that it works for you. So how do you, because irrational tends to have such a negative context.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
When the truth is, it works for us. Because you know what it is? You're helping me see the wind by showing me the leaves that are blowing. The director's perspective is what I call this.
Yes,
exactly. What you just shared. So right on,
I think these new awarenesses of... Yes, I see, that's exactly right. And we were having this conversation this morning, and I was calling it like I gave you this example of if our body, say we've been kind of going a little, say for about 3 months, 6 months, we've been walking and maybe we didn't realize it, but we're a little crooked and out of alignment, and we find, you know, but we've been kind of walking that way for about 3-6 months, so our body kind of got used to it, but we're tired of that ache, so we go to the chiropractor, we go get adjusted, and they say to you, hey, don't lift anything heavy, you know, let your body, you know, kind of get used to this, because you're back in alignment, but there's kind of a muscle memory that's been going on now for the 3 to 6 months, so, you know, be a little careful, you might want to come back, you might, you know, and I was giving you this example because this is kind of like the irrational thing. This is like, wait a minute, these are old muscle memories of being out of alignment. We're coming into a new place, and there's new, it's new in its kind of like feeling, like, oh. And so what I find so amazing is the ability to hold creative tension and stay in that, it's kind of like, I call it like the place. It's like, you know, where it's like, you know, and it's like, you know, and you might call it irrational or uncertain. But who said that's not necessarily, we've learned that that's something to turn around and get away from there. And it's like, no, don't turn around and get away from there. That's actually a
juicy, creative,
wonderful
space. Right.
Necessary, you know, deep feminine nature, you know, gold, you know, filled with gold and whatever, you know, because, so these are the places that, you know, and then you dip your toes in it and you're like, yeah, okay. So, So I think
The conditioning has us going away from those spaces, but nature invites us in all the time.
Yeah, and it's always role modeling it to us, you know. And, you know, I think this is, I'm glad we're talking about this because I think this is going to kind of be a topic that we'll talk about a lot because I think this is happening a lot.
I agree.
You know, I think
yes.
that these, like, new ways of seeing things that we're I notice I'm saying them a lot lately. I'm going, wow. You know, don't be afraid of your feelings. It's like, wow, that's where, you know, it's not the panic attacks aren't from your feelings. It's from the resistance to your feelings. It's like somebody told you your feelings weren't valid or somebody told you it's like there's where the tension is, you know. So,
right.
I mean, and I don't mean the creative tension. I mean the disruption that causes
suppression.
The body
the suppression
to go into
of
a
it.
Panic attack. Yeah. And it's like, open up the gate and feel it, you know? And so, so all this, and I've been saying this for a while where, I know. So it was, I was listening to George's, 2-hour interview with, you linked it to me or you linked it, and it was great. It was last week. And,
I don't remember the name of the guy, but I know what you're talking about.
And
yes.
His name was 23. Anyway.
Sorry, that's a bit of a private joke, but it's all good.
No, it really was 23.
No, I know, but I don't think they understand why we're laughing at it. So, go ahead. Keep going.
George calls him 32.
32. George got dyslexic on him.
So,
gotta laugh.
Oh, it was funny. So I noticed, and somewhere I have those notes, but they're in my studio, but I noticed that I had been for a couple days prior to listening to this, I was noticing how I was feeling, and I wasn't trying to define it until I was sitting down, I was listening to George, and I'm going, okay, what, and I'm, you know, I'm simultaneously listening to George, and then I'm going, okay, what is it, how do you feel you are, and I wrote intense, but then I went, and then I wrote next to it with a little arrows, kind of funny, find new word, intense is not the word. So, so it wasn't, you know, that was just like my beginning point to try to find what I was feeling. And it wasn't intense. It was just this new, these new places, like you said, irrational. And I would point a little arrow on the paper and go, find new definition.
Or new word, right.
Yeah,
right.
Or a new word, because
right.
It's a starting point. It is. It's a starting point.
Yeah.
But it's not the actual description of what I was feeling. And but it was really interesting because then what you do is you sort of track what you're feeling. And, you know, I just came into this new place that I'm just in this other kind of acute state of awareness that you could almost say was intense, but that wasn't accurate. It was softer than intense, you know. It wasn't, you know. So I think that, you know, for people who are listening, if you notice these things, like, you know, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that, you know. If you try to define it, that's fine, but you might want to, like, let that be. But then in this new timeline or this accelerated time that our definitions for words, it's just not as accurate anymore, you know? So, I was hoping.
Well, and I want to share that, you know, we are living through the paradigm of, you know, our paradigm is shifting. And what I mean by that is, you know, the last real big paradigm shift we had in humanity on some level is when the Earth went from being flat to round. And so in support of what Janine's saying is they had to have new words. I mean, we had to call, you know, we lived on a sphere We didn't live on piece of paper.
A flat plane.
Not a flat plane, right. So, you know, the nature of reality itself, and I really want to emphasize the nature of reality itself is shifting. So, of course, words are simply symbols of nature. And if you listen to Eckhart Tolle's work, it becomes very clear that we don't even come close in the English language. You know, we call a tree a tree. Have you ever been healed by a tree? The word tree clearly doesn't cover, at least in my personal experience, the engaging and the relating and the compassion that those beings have shared with me. Hands down, from the healing of my mother's death to the awareness of the depth of who I am today, the trees are my best friend. And, you know, if I say, what's that? It's a tree. Does that convey it? So it's about understanding that let's take our language to the depth of our awareness, and if our awareness is indeed changing, which we know it is because we are feeling it, we're feeling it, we're sharing it, that our words simply have to have, you know, we want our depth to, we want our words to reflect the depth of what we're experiencing.
Yeah.
And, just wanted to,
that's so cool because, you know, the word tree and, like, you know, like even the tonality or what comes with the tree, you know, I mean, I think that maybe it's because the dimensionality of, like, for me, you know, it's like, okay, Jay, hold on to your hat because, like, you know, I think that there's an expansion going on and that even words are, you know, and that's
limited.
Yeah.
Limited.
Like, look, I found my notes, which are so cool. Because this is while I'm listening to George last week, and I wrote down the word intense, and then I went find new word. And then I went over and I wrote, with my words, I feel efficient still. Then I wrote not inflated or deflated. And then I wrote, it's more of a neutrality. And then I wrote, neutrality can be confused and interpreted as non-caring. And that's not at all accurate because I bet in some ways in this place of neutrality, or maybe it is between the right and the left and slightly above is neutrality, and it is by no means a non-caring place, but in the old paradigm and in, you know, our old, that a person of neutrality is really holding the center and is in a very caring place, I think that these are the confusions of the old paradigm. Like when you said the word irrational.
Remember, the old paradigm is polarized. That's why, of course, neutrality is not a welcomed space. Because
that would be,
pick
you
a side.
It's like, you don't care?
Right, because you're not on left and you're not on right. Then you must not care.
Right. So
that sounds like a politician, to be honest.
Right. So these are perfect examples, though, when you say irrational. Most people would jump to, and I go, no. Actually, that's, to me, in a deep place of the deep feminine nature, which is naturally irrational, but not in the way that this...
But not negative.
No, not at all.
Right.
It's able to move in the darkness and, you know, in the depths and
where
can,
the seed is birthed. I mean,
where,
you know, you plant a seed in the ground. The seed itself does not get sunlight until the plant breaks through the ground. So we really are birthed in the wet darkness.
Yeah, and the seed is not irrational.
And a seed is not, you know, right? Because I bet you if we talk to our seed, they would tell us, you're right. I mean, seed is really kind of just doing its essence, right? A seed is just expressing essence,
yeah,
which is,
yeah. And it's in the high creativity mode, you know, in its own beautiful subtle way. But see, that, like, I'm telling you, that, you know, this is great stuff, because
right on, babe. Right
this
on.
This is the new kind of awareness that, you know, where you know, the subtleties, you know, I love hearing people say something and then whatever they thought they were saying, it's just, they have a lot of treasures they're saying, but they don't realize they're treasures, you know? And So no, it's pretty cool. And I think that this has been pretty active for like last week and this week, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And, yeah, see what I've been doing on my own?
Yeah, no, right on. And listen, I'm excited that, well, because, you know, I want to share something, too, that, you know, this is kind of with the audience, but it's with you as well, because last week me and Janine didn't talk a lot, which was, I mean, she was doing her thing. And what was really great about that is I was witnessing myself, because there were definitely times where I was like, oh, you know, like I would call you and you wouldn't, you know, it'd go to voicemail and it'd be like, okay, and I don't really leave messages. Sometimes I do, but most of the people know, you know, you look and you see that I've called. Okay, I want to talk.
Right.
You know, that's really all that's necessary. But what I found in my own experience is that the energy that I was experiencing was that, okay, I do want to talk to Janine, but okay, well, but Janine's not available right now, so where am I going to, what are you going to do with that, Goldie? And I found myself being really okay being quiet. Because I have found that recently I let, I go through periods, what I call blackout periods, where people that I've spoken to, the relationship is, the bulk of the relationship is that we speak to each other on the phone, and I'll take breaks from speaking to those people.
Right.
And when I say a break, it's what I found in my own discovery of those breaks is that being an empath, my energy, it reminds me of almost like a vine. Mm-hmm. My energy becomes a vine on other people's energies, and I become entangled in their experiences, and I'm very much... You know, they go up, I go up. They go down, I go down. They're having crises in their life. I'm experiencing those crises. And I'm not judging that situation, but I find that, you know, I share what I would do in that situation, and they don't choose to do what I would do, which is, of course, okay, but then my choice is, well, then I got to unleash my vine. I got to cut my vine because I don't want to be on this roller coaster ride with you.
Yeah.
Because I would handle it to get to clarity. My point is always go to clarity, but stay in the hot kitchen. You know, I work with my pain. I work with my shadow side. I want to integrate this. I'm not looking to, you know, push it outside of me and go, this is bad, this is good. No. But so what I'm finding now since these past few weeks where I have organically, what's showing up for me is spiritual maturity, and not as just a mental concept, because spiritual maturity for me is that when Janine's not available to talk, and with Janine being, you know, having my vine on her experience is very pleasant because she is one of the only people I know that is willing to go into that hot kitchen. So I don't mind if Janine has issues because we tend to follow similar journeys. But okay, so but what do you do when she's not available? Well, I found that it was like the journey was telling me, okay, so now go within, Goldie. And that seems to be the spiritual maturity says go within. And can you sit with yourself, even though you want to share, can you just sit with yourself? And now I'm exploring the mature energies of silence and quiet and stillness. And, oh, my God, they're far from empty spaces, not even close. I mean, they're levelers. You know, like I feel leveled at times in the silence of my own being that there's an alchemy to the silence. Because, see, and again, this is, you know, in my journey, talking has always been the way I process, the way I relieve pressure and tension. It's just energetically, that's my I release and intake as well. But it's almost like, see, what I'm getting right now as we speak is the silence and the stillness is about me exploring the divine feminine nature, the darkness underground, the pre-birthing space. Before the little plant starts needing sunlight when it pops through the ground. And, you know, it feels divine, and I'm not afraid. And it's interesting because, you know, of course, now that we're on the show, you know, and we're an hour into it, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, quit the show. Yeah, right. I mean, I love this. You know, this is,
right.
This
it's cool to think about anytime, you know, even quitting the show. I think that's a, you know, why not think about it, you know, so that just, you know, first of all, I don't like to think that any thought is taboo, you know, and restrictive or, you know, also because those are, that would be like, to me, like, you know, I just think that, you know, those
Well, that would be, that would say it doesn't have a place and it doesn't have value.
Right, exactly. But I love the fact, because this is so great, the engaging with people, then you are empathic, so you feel, you know, you sort of do are the vine and you get sort of entwined, and then you go, oh, and your sensors say, oh, okay. But see, the subtlety of that is so, I mean, it's there that you're noticing that. You're identifying that. That is not some, like, abstract, why am I feeling this? So, but what I love is the quality to go inward and, you know, so there's a balance of, talking and relating are wonderful. But then the true quality of relating also requires the quality of relating with yourself. So
definitely.
The incredible benefit is, though, that by you going inward and feeling that stillness and traveling in there, that's where you, which is so exciting for me, that's when you bump into the irrational. And to me, that is like, whoa, that's fantastic. Because
right on, babe. Right on.
I'm telling you, that is where all the most incredible, I don't even know how to explain it, but
insights. It's insight.
But like inspiration.
Yeah, look at all the words and how they actually show
you know,
it, too.
Traveling into these places where, you know, you come up and you're like, discovery, you know.
So,
your description of the process is so good because that's exactly how that works. I mean, that's where you bump into the incredible irrational. You know, which, you know, to me, it's just, I don't know. It's just,
It seems like the time has come, you know, because it feels as it's absolute preparation for the birthing of what is to come, that this going within, bumping into our irrational, this is preparation. If indeed you're on the organic timeline, And you're going to birth with Earth, this new humanity. Mm-hmm. It does seem to be organically taking us. You know, in other words, it's just following the river.
Yeah, following.
And yet there's this incredible magic to it in that, because I was writing on somebody's wall. They had shown a picture last week. I was talking about, you know, that I feel with inside my belly, the birthing of this consciousness, like that I actually can feel when I put my hands on my belly, a response that's inside of my body that when I touch my hands to my belly, that something inside my belly responds that is inside me, but not of my physical being. You know, it is some, it's hard to explain. The best way to explain it is like when you have a child, you know, you're, it's in you, but you know, it's really not of you, even though it grows from you, you know, the paradox, let's embrace the paradox. And there was this woman that had a paint, drawn a picture in her newsletter, her monthly newsletter, of the light being in her belly. And I was so excited because I'm not feeling it per se from an experiential point of view. I'm not feeling it in my heart. I'm feeling it in my belly. And then when I read her newsletter, you know, she's bringing this light in from her crown chakra and her third eye. And I said to her, I go, you know, the picture I resonate with totally, but I'm not bringing this in from outside of me. I'm birthing this in. Mm-hmm. Within right. me. And she was like, you know, this isn't, how could you, you know, because I went, it's like a child. You don't have to, when someone gets pregnant, there's nothing outside. You know, I'm not saying that the mother doesn't have to eat right and things of that nature, but ultimately the child growing in the mother, it just get out of its way. And it will grow, you know, it will mature. The magic of birth is that it knows what to do, and it doesn't need us to chant or build Merkabahs or call in energies, right? It just happens. It's a process that, you know what I'm saying, right? You don't got to get a college
process.
Degree. Natural process.
Right,
and
right.
What seems to, for me, my experience is this birthing of the new humanity is, of course, is as well a natural process.
Yeah, just get out
and
of its way.
Just get out of its way. Now, nurture it, of course, but get
of
out
course.
Of its way. And she was like, you know, how could you compare this to giving birth? She's like, you know, we are assisting it. We must call it in. And I was like, well, then that's not organic. You know, and it was just so interesting how the mind will tell you this process needs us to, you know, read a mantra 100 times and, you know, sit in the lotus position and whatever, you know, whatever it is.
No,
the mind
I think that's true. I do. I think that's exactly what we've been talking about, which is, you know, the old paradigm thoughts that just, or actions or, you know, definitions or belief systems that, you know, it's like all of a sudden I'm getting, you know, just allow the process, get out of its way. And see,
exactly.
I think that feels more irrational than people know, but it's natural. But I also think that this is kind of like refinement. Like you get to sense it. But, you know, because in some ways what we're talking about, if someone goes, well, I don't know what you're talking about, then I realize, okay, but there's a refinement to what we're saying. It's like you kind of have to understand, okay, so if you're not there understanding what we're saying, then I'm going, well, this is maybe a refined language or something. Because I think that
it's experiential too. You know, if I would say if someone's not understanding what we're saying, my guess would be they're not connected.
Yeah.
Right. You want to connect in nature, and you want to reconnect with the silence within without, you know, because our culture clearly has us, you know, at the epitome of busyness. And it's not just busyness from our jobs, but busy on the iPods, busy on the telephones, texting, busy, 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 busy. And that busyness is, on some level, you know, the antithesis of the child just naturally being birthed within the being. You know, it's
I just got Goldie. That's so true, because the lack. Just saying that the lack of busyness, which to me would be natural, could actually feel really uncomfortable to people, and they might
and they are uncomfortable,
right?
Yes.
And they might miss they might misjudge that. They might think something's wrong, and I'm going, no, something's right.
Right, know? And it's in there trying to fix it that they
right.
get in the way.
Right,
because,
it's like, no,
right.
yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm and that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, cheers, everybody. I'm drinking a sip of water to that thought. And listen, I know that experience, that feeling, because when I was building Merkabahs and all that, it was all so I could ascend. I was going to ascend, and I was going to make sure, you know, that I had all my light body tools and Merkabah vehicles, you know, and of course, I mean, that's why I highly recommend George Kavassalis' work. And I'll spell
yeah.
his last name, K-A-V-A Kavassalis. K-A-V-A-S. Wait a minute. God bless. All right. I'm going to my Facebook page. I, for some reason, I'm not here. If I spell it out on paper, I'll know it. Kavassalis. Okay. K-A-V-A-S-S-I-L-A-S. Because his work, he is a sword carrier of the truth that the organic processing, you know, I'll state it with something that I posted today, which I found so amazing. There was a quote that said, if we can be born once, why is it so incredible? Why would we think it's so incredible to be born twice? You know, and I laughed at the simplicity of that statement, because when the woman who made the picture of the light in her belly was like, how can you compare this to, you know, the birth of a baby? And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, how can you not compare these
right,
times?
Right,
right. Because
again,
everything
once again,
in
like,
my...
you know, it's like a shift in the belief systems that are limited. You know, that
right.
you can be born once. Well, why can't you be born twice? But the truth is, you know, I've said this so many times on the show, and because I say it to you, like, Goldie, I've died at least, you know, 10 times in the last 8 years. And
exactly.
that means I've been born at least 10 times in the last, you know, whatever. And it's
reborn.
Like,
exactly.
Right. So it's,
exactly.
it's a constant, actually. And, you know, if you allow it, if you're in resistance, you know, here comes the panic attacks, you know, or
right.
the need
right.
to think something's wrong, or, you know, and it's like, no, something is not wrong. This is the natural process that, you know, we've been cultured, we've been misinformed, we've been, you know, kind of given, if you're home and, you know, these feelings aren't right, you know, and it's like, no, that's not accurate. And so all
right.
the world was flat, you know, the world is a sphere, you know, it's those feelings aren't acceptable. Those feelings are actually incredible. Follow them. They will take you, you know, and, you know, don't be afraid of your feelings. And
yeah.
so, you know,
well, this is also a lot
to
what? Go ahead. No, finish.
And I guess I'm really hung up on your great word irrational, because this is where the strength of being comfortable and befriending irrational is a game changer. It's a game
right.
changer. And,
right.
you know, everybody probably on some level, the minute irrational sort of started to go, hi, you know, everyone went, ah, what is that? You know, and, oh, something's wrong. You know, and it's like,
right.
no, something's right.
Well, see, because what I was going to add to this
yeah.
is about learning to trust ourselves.
Yeah.
Because, the media, you know, the people around you who might not be awakening, they're not going to support, they're going to point out that you're acting irrationally. But when you go within, you're going to find that polarized experience of sitting still when, you know, sitting still, like the first thing that came to my mind was the polarized experience of sitting still when we don't have a job, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how many people tell you, you know, get off
yeah.
your ass and go hit the pavement and knock on doors. And I can tell you, I was 2 years from the time my last nanny gig family, who I'm still working with, but when I went from, you know, like 4 days a week, she quit her job and said, okay, you know, if you want to, you know, go find another family. And I was like, okay. 2 years, and I had taken two jobs. I left both of them. One I didn't even get paid for. All of that became part of the experience that I, because the job I have now, a little baby that is, she's exquisite. Her name's Olivia. Her parents are, I couldn't be more pleased. Her mom is a delivery nurse. By the way, exactly what Janine was when Janine was as a nurse. The husband's way easygoing. He came home the other day, you know, and we had never met, so I didn't know. It's like, okay, do you want me to stick around? I'm thinking to myself, I'll stick around and, you know, maybe we'll have, you know, a little kind of get to know each other. You know, and I was like, I looked at him and I go, I'll go now. He goes, yeah. I went, oh, okay, right up. You know, he was like, he came home from work. He's tired. He wants to be with his kid.
Right.
You know, he basically, his wife, trust me, he'll get to know me as we get to know me, but he's not chatty. I mean, it was just one of those, it took me 2 years. I was in divine space, and in 2 years, this amazing family that has found me, I'll go the next 7 years, if not the rest of my life, with these guys. And I know that now. It's so obvious to me, based on the other two, what I would call debacles of, you know, where, I mean, things came up, and I took the opportunity, and there was something to be garnished. But, I mean, I remember I had been waiting over a year when I got the first job. And after a month was like, she was riding me. I mean, she was telling me how to walk up the stairs with my arm against the wall in case the baby jumped out of my arms. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've got issues here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's not between me and this kid. It's between you and me, because the mom was paranoid. And so, so what I'm trying to point out in this share is that Divine time says, I continue to hold my space. Me and Alana returned 4,000 cans for $200. You know, I was creating, I always tell my friends, in times like this, and I mean, at this point, there's no time that it's not like this, multiple streams of income, I recommend having multiple streams, whether it's, I mean, the people I spoke to at the recycling place, they all said to me, you can make a living doing this. And I don't doubt it. I mean, it was $200. I mean, it was an all-day thing. It was 4,000 cans. Believe me, that was a lot of cans.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, hey, it gave me money if I needed gas to go on an interview or whatever the situation. You can you can be crafty. You can take, you know, there are some places you can take babysitting jobs. You know, do something outside of your quote, you know, quote-unquote known career, because it really came down to that. So those 2 years, I believe in divine timing. It was going to take 2 years to find Olivia and Olivia to find me. I mean, God, she had to be born. She wasn't even born before 2 years ago. But the time I spent was often in the woods, in the now moment, in total peace amongst my beautiful best friends known as the trees and the butterflies and the ants and the moths. And I mean, it was like, this is the irrational, because, you know, the rational mind believes that, you know, work hard, you know, to get what you want. And the irrational, the divine mother or the divine feminine, the deep, dark divine feminine, I said, I want a job that I resonate with, that I enjoy the energy of the people, that our philosophies are in sync, and I can grow old with these kids and grow old with these parents. I'm not just looking to put money in my pocket, but every time I go, I'm miserable. That's are we creating a life or are we creating a living? You know.
Well, yeah, and that trust word is the word, because you there were times when you really went into a deep place of trust, and it was like trust almost sometimes feels like irrational, because you're holding this space of, hey, that doesn't make sense. And it's like, yes, it does, because ultimately, you know, you left two jobs that weren't working. That was risky, but not really, because
right.
you were going by what felt you know, right for you and
in sync for me,
and,
exactly.
Right, in sync with you,
exactly.
And yet that it does seem irrational to some people. And on the other hand, it was to me the beautiful in this conversation that we're having, in the trust and this irrational and the knowing and the, you know, holding the space, and you know, there's this risk taking. It feels like, because, you know, but you know, it's almost like, yeah, you have, you know, there's a risk taking in saying no, thank you, that doesn't work for me, and yet, you know, you held out, and there were days, I'm sure, where you even went, well, you know, and you're like, nope, staying with this.
Exactly, and right, of course, doubt pops up, of course,
right,
and again.
Right.
If it pops up, which we've been talking about all show, be the space for it. It's okay to doubt.
Yeah, it's okay. It's very
it is okay.
Open and
right.
Truthful and vulnerable.
And honest.
And honest.
Right, and perseverance. You know, we're in a polarized experience right now. So we're going to feel, because I also knew the confidence of that I was going to be okay. You know, that it went so much deeper than just me having a job and my bills being paid.
This
past 2 years has really shown me that I have a statement on my home computer that says, my being is my sustenance.
Nice.
I really went deep into that, you know, not a cliche, but what, you know, that statement in the 2 years, because I found that my father was supportive of me financially, and I'm telling you, everybody.
Well, you know, your father's
that
a smart
has
man.
Not
your
been.
Your father's a smart man, and what you
indeed.
Did actually was smart. I mean, it was, because no, everybody knows that if you stay with something that's not, you're not in sync with, or that's, it doesn't work out anyway. I mean, it's just
right.
So I think
right.
your father really picked up that you were making, quote, smart decisions. You were. And I think your father really got that.
I agree with you. But I'm telling you, when I tell you my father is a retired Jewish engineer, that my whole life, from the time I was very young, you know, the cliches around my house were there are no free rides, you know, you know, you will support yourself. I mean, it was very much enculturalized in me through him. You know, you make money and you support yourself, but in his beautiful awareness, in his awareness, I give him true credit, because he also recognizes that there is a economic crisis going on in the country.
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
So that he is, because I just kept saying, listen, I'm on care.com and I'm applying. He's like, okay. His answer was always to me, you only got to hit the ball once. You know, as long as you keep swinging, all you got to do is hit the ball once, and it'll be good. And, you know, what an optimist. And he
fabulous.
Supported me. It was amazing. It was as much the experience of really having a heart experience with my dad being not employed as it was my being is my sustenance. I mean, it was, you know, in other words, not being employed became a real focus of my soul. That now that I am employed, all of that experience that I had in the 2 years prior, I get to pour that into the from the soul into Olivia.
Well, isn't that beautiful? Because that's like the soul, the spiritual maturity that you're talking about. That now you have that spiritual maturity from that. Like flipping the belief systems and living it, that in those times of non-employment and going inward and, you know, trusting something that was, you know, would appear like in out there in the world, be like, no, that's not how you do it. But
exactly.
here you are benefiting from what we've been taught is as how you're supposed to do it, as opposed to the flipping of a belief system, which, you know, we've been talking about so much lately, where, you know, what you think is like, oh, it's God, it's the opposite, you know, and your father, though, would, you know, I've never met him, but.
You will. I just have that feeling.
I know, but
you
I can
will.
Tell that your decision making was so authentic and on point that I could tell he felt that. You know,
right on.
Yeah.
And let the audience know, don't underestimate authenticity and how it is has a ripple effect in
right.
the beings
in
your life.
People feel it, yeah.
Absolutely. And honor it. And honor it with their own authentic, you know, reflection back. Because, you know, as we're talking about this, this is totally making me, it's like, okay, we're going through a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so we're not just in sync with being authentic with our souls. We're also in sync with the nature of reality. Because reality is no longer the way the corporations are sharing it. You know, the corporations for the last 100 years have basically been, you know, produce, even to the point of, like, I had this conversation with Scott's mom that, you know, back in the day, they used to produce refrigerators and irons and washing machines that would last a lifetime. That is what we made. And then corporations realized that, no, we've got to produce things now that will break down so we can produce again, because that's the whole machine of consumerism. You know, so it's like we and it was an evolution. It's all evolution. It's not a negative. It's the observation of it.
How it's
exactly
it's a process, and we're coming through the other side, and you know, there's a benefit to all this process.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
In the and the benefit of what we're sharing tonight of being, you know, wow, I just went blank. What's the word that we're kind of focusing on tonight?
Well, was it trust or irrational?
Oh, irrational. So,
I mean, there's a lot of them, but I got them all down.
No, you got to think. The irrational is almost like, it's what I would call, like, it's like a Gene Roddenberry or a the guy who wrote The Twilight Zone, Rod Sterling. It's like we're ahead of our time.
Yeah.
Because it's very rational when you're connected with Earth, and it's very rational when you're connected with your soul. Rational in the sense of it makes sense, it's in sync, it's in harmony. It's just, you know, it's not necessarily rational with quote unquote the cultural mind. We have a caller. Want to bring on a caller?
Okay.
Yeah, which I love that we're inspiring people to share. Hi, area code 705, you're on the line. You're on the air?
Hey. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Is this Susan?
Hi. This is Marsha.
Marsha!
So.
Hey,
Marsha.
Hey, God, you sound just like Susan. How are you, love? How are you?
I am good. I'm a grandmother today.
Oh,
congratulations. Yay.
A new little baby girl. Her name is Haley.
What's your name?
Justine. Haley Justine.
Nice.
Very
congratulations.
Nice.
Very nice.
I was thinking about your talk on authenticity, and I had relatives for a week, one of my daughters and their husband and their young baby, and then for 2 weeks before that, I had my grandbaby Ariana, who's 4, and she was a lot of fun. But at the very end of the 3 weeks, I kind of crashed out. I found that I had to go and just be in the trees, not talking. And I crashed out as in got sick, right? So I thought, okay. And for the last 3 days, I'd been kind of guarding the couch and just nurturing myself back into a good space.
I like that
and
line, guarding the couch.
Really guarding it.
Sorry, that just really resonate with that.
Go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, I've seen the experiments on the chickens. I've seen all that stuff. And I just, it didn't matter. I had this irrational craving to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I said to, yelled into Joe, Joe, do you want to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken? And he came in and he goes, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm just craving Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he goes, for what? And I said, to eat. Okay. And I said, I need some cramp in my body, I think.
Mm.
I don't know. But let's just go. He says, okay. So this whole, the telephone kept ringing and all this stuff. And then finally we left. And then when I got in the car, there was a bag of flutes there, which Joe, my husband, carves. And he says to me, I can take them, put them in the house. I said, no, no, leave them. They're fine. And he goes, well, you won't be comfy. And I said, oh, I'll be great. So we get there. We go into Kentucky Fried Chicken, get our food, and we decide to sit inside. And I'm feeling kind of, I'm impatient. I'm done eating. And these two older women are sitting across. They're in their 70s. She kept on making eye contact. And she kept on connecting and connecting. And I had been feeling, I have to leave. And then all of a sudden, this whole conversation stepped up with her and her friend and about her life. And we had a little circle going. The next thing you know, Joe brought the flutes in. We were playing flutes. And the owners closed the restaurant.
Wow.
And we were just talking stories about our lives, about our experiences. The one older lady is in her 70s, and when she was a baby, they found her in a cabin, newborn, and she didn't grow up with her parents, and she has all this magic. She was sitting, and she said magic, I think, 10 times. And
how
she loves fantasy and all these things. And she started talking about prayer and everything like that. But she has this gaping wound that at the same time, being in her 70s, she is a grandmother. And it's reaching in with your own story and sharing your humanity with other people. Not saying, well, you know, you couldn't quit. What are you doing in Kentucky Fried Chicken, eating greasy chicken? You mustn't be ascended.
Right.
Which I've met a lot of people where they were obviously not short on something. They seem to be glowing and very authentic. Mm. So
what
a great story.
I wanted to share that today. We had a great time.
Yeah, and do you think that... you know, the irrational part, which, of course, to me is kind of the part that makes sense. do you think that the calling to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken was multiple reasons, or like there was an intuition going on, not only that you somehow needed that food or into your body or whatever, but that it was also just to have happen what with those people and the flutes? And because I ended up in a store one time that I had my client canceled on me, and I ended up in a store, and I never would have went into this store. It was like a furniture store. It was expensive. I don't even know why I went in. And I'm just standing there, and I'm looking at this blue ball, and this young man walks up to me and goes, I go, yeah, I'm just looking for a therapy office. And he goes, oh, are you a decorator? I go, no, I'm a therapist. He goes, oh, I actually was on the phone looking for a therapist, you know, and that was my, and so then I knew why I went in the store. So, and the blue bowl now is part of my therapy office as well as this wonderful person. But, you know, it was kind of like, oh, there it is. So do you think that you going Kentucky Fried Chicken, that it was just a following?
No, because this woman said to me when you came in, I don't know, I didn't mean to stare. I just couldn't. It's like, and the other woman was shaking her head. They live in an old age home, a seniors residence. Maybe they'll come and play for us. Maybe they'll come and she, I said to her, well, you could start writing groups. You know, how many people are sitting? you've been writing all your life. She's been writing these stories, and after she's done writing, she crumples it up and burns them.
Wow.
It's so painful.
But do you think she might not now that you've talked to her? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I said, oh, you know, she took my number and said, we must stay in touch. We have to stay in touch, you know, and maybe you guys will come and, you know, play music. And because there's a lot of the elderly people, like I said to her, 76, almost 77, you're just getting warmed up. When people tell me
I like that. I like that. Right on.
You know,
right
someone
on.
Said, well, you're too old now. You know, stand aside and let the young ones take over who have more energy. I'm 53. I looked at them and I said, are you kidding? I remember that age. I'm just getting warmed up.
We're just beginning.
Tip of the iceberg here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's in the culture, you know, it has us, you know, basically put out to pasture, you know, between 55 and 63. I mean, that's, you know, from the corporation point of view, my father's 78. He's exquisite. In fact, you know, just so everybody knows, at some point we're going to bring him on to do a show.
Yeah.
Cuz he's a wonderful example of, you know,
I'll make sure you email me and tell me directly.
Okay.
I don't want to miss that.
Oh, right on.
Scary.
Yeah, thank you.
See, he's already
got
a following.
he really is. He's a,
that's
he loves to talk. What I started to understand was that there's something that happens to a lot of the elderly in our culture that the culture throws them away, and then they throw themselves away. You know, meaning it becomes the catch 22 of, I don't have a reason for being, and you know, and when you journey within, nothing ever gets thrown away. There's, you know what I mean?
No.
You understand the shift, like, because I'm starting to go through, I believe, menopausal experiences. Which is, I'm fine with, you know, because I'm understanding it taking me from, you know, the space of bearing children to the space of kind of being a grandmother, whether I have children or not, but the sage and the wise,
mm-hmm.
you know, the wisdom of the experience of my life. And, you know, the indigenous cultures have been teaching this, of course, forever, where in our culture, you know, the minute you're over 30, you better start getting, you know, your plastic surgery done, and you know everything about it is saying, you know, you're on a limited time here in youthfulness. I mean, and again, it's that part of us organically is coming to a close. That part is in on its death throes. So that way of thinking, that way of seeing and perspective and all of it. And so, so we're going to let it. We're going to let it die, and we're going to kind of ride the wave of, like, beautiful. I love that it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, because remember the story, Janine? Go ahead.
My friends are all health conscious and always on me. But myself, when I was young, I was in 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, whatnot, I studied food. And I still, you know, I use herbs and teas and view food as medicine. But if I crave something, I know it's for me.
Yeah.
It's something I don't understand.
See, exactly. See, you're prepared to be, quote-unquote, in the irrational because you understand it as, you know, it that's how life talks to us. Life, Mother Nature. Mother Nature doesn't necessarily talk to us through, you know, a physical phone call where the phone rings. It talks to us through a feeling that, exactly like you just said, where you are health conscious, but you're not afraid to, you know, because, like, I look at it and I say, I see all these people that are posting on Facebook with the GMO and the chemtrails, you know, and
And there's a truth in that, but not to
there is a truth in that. Well, exactly, because there's also a truth that that which is present within me is beyond that which the chemtrail can suppress.
Right.
Right.
You know, because you're absolutely right. It's not about, I don't deny the chemtrails, but as we were talking earlier, we find the center, elevate ourselves up just a little, and the chemtrails are just part of my experience. It's not the whole experience. I'm still in tune with that which serves the eternal part. And as we, most of us know, if you're in contact with your soul can't be touched by a chemtrail or by a GMO food, because it's
right.
It's not part of the physical, even though it is now. I can't say that with all honesty anymore, because I believe the soul is here. The soul is on the physical plane, and that's kind of what I think, in my humble opinion, is growing within us, within everyone, that the journey is to follow our souls with Mother Earth into the birthing of this the new humanity. Because it's a paradox. The soul isn't a part of the physical experience, and yet right now, today, the soul is very much a part of the human experience. So, you know, it's not this or that. It's this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm sorry, Janine.
What?
Is that you? I keep interrupting.
Oh, no,
you're fine.
I'm just agreeing. No, go ahead. I'd love to hear what you're saying.
Jack Kornfield wrote a book, The Path of the Heart. Have you ever heard of him?
I've heard of Jack Kornfield. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing man. I love his stuff. It's so real. And I took this journey a few years ago. I've always had this vital force field of energy that I would just swing in, get things done, and do all this stuff, and I could sit quiet and do it. It was just amazing. Well, one day, after my mother-in-law passed, we had been out west helping her cross, I got really sick. And then I had this journey where I cannot, it's kind of like food, the same snobbery with food or growing old, but illness, right?
Mm.
So I got this mysterious illness, and it comes and goes, and it's been diagnosed now as lung disease, right? So it'll come and go. I went from being stage three, to a stage one, and you know, I'll alternate, you know, which is virtually impossible because you just go to stage three and go to stage four. It was like stage three. So now I'm like right now I might be stage fluctuating onto stage three, but I'll go back to stage one and two, right? And maybe sometime ditch it all together. I don't know. But he talks about the path of illness.
Mm-hmm.
About how it brings you the depth, and it's the only book that I found that talks about the journey of illness, and it talks about different monks who their students were shocked that they were dying. How can that be? You must not be who you said you were.
Oh, God, don't you love that snobbery?
And
that way of thinking.
My aunt died in the winter. She was a vital woman and had a car accident which hurt her back, and then it triggered her fibromyalgia. She couldn't move. They put her on all these nasty drugs. She went to see healers who further gave her this feeling of self-recrimination and blame that she was ill. And she obviously didn't know, or couldn't. She got to the point where she couldn't even pray. And they found her in bed dead at 63 years old. That is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean,
she's young.
Our culture has very little compassion. They don't see it as an opportunity to reach out. We don't see, you know, I'm taking this journey personally myself, and I'm seeing from the inside out, and watching myself go by many, many times, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good in here and excited. I mean, decided let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And the one thing I find is you too, you're not well, so you're real, really real.
Mm.
The masks are off. And you know? There's
yeah,
no mask.
I was just reading a book by David Hawkins called Healing and Recovery or Recovery and Healing. I'm not sure which. But he said the same thing that on our spiritual path and people who are spiritually evolving and maturing, that he finds that's true, that the illness gets a bad rap, so to speak, and that there's a lot of people that put shame on people who are in spiritual paths and how could you get ill, you know, and it's a very interesting, I found it to be true too, and it's, like, I like that word that you use, snobbery, like food snobbery, or, you know,
or
a bias, because you're right. I mean, and you know, it's so great that Kentucky Fried Chicken is the sort of, you know, the storyline here, because it's like, tell me that great Kentucky Fried Chicken story, Marcia. You know, because it really is great, you know, and, you know, Goldie, it's like that angry shopping cart lady. You know, I was in a parking lot, and this lady got mad at me because I didn't put the shopping cart back right, and she got really mad at me. So it's like my angry shopping cart lady story. But it's just so, and, you know, I was like, oh, I didn't realize shopping cart etiquette. You know, I broke it, and I got in so much trouble, and it's like, you know, and I'm I should know better. I'm a spiritually mature person. I should put the cart away. so there was this whole thing that, you know, kind of amused me. But I find your story and your even taking the Kentucky Fried Chicken story to the next level of the illness and the bias that comes with an illness and, oh, you know, and that there's something actually, quote, wrong with that. And that in itself is a... it's inaccurate. It's an untruth. It's you know, so if you're interested,
it's polarized.
It is polarized, and it's biased.
And I
phoned my friend who is on Facebook with me, and she has spinal bifida, and she's had that since she was born, and she's the oldest living. No one knows. They don't even know, you know, she pees with a tube. She is very active prayer. She's died a few times, right? You know, and most of my friends have. But anyway, I phoned her up today because I was kind of tired of the energy and we were cracking jokes. I said, hey, what's wrong with you spiritually? Can't you, like, manifest new organs and
exactly.
You mustn't be who you are. Well, you've always been a great disappointment.
Oh, that's great.
And we're
that's
laughing.
So powerful. God, Marcia, I love when
that
you call in and share.
Humor.
That's fantastic.
Oh,
humor.
My God, that's so great.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I love that. They, you know, it's funny how we find our partners that reflect the truth for us. You know, even if the world is, you know, increasingly getting crazier and crazier, so to speak. You know, there are definitely pockets of the wise organic journey that that kind of, you know, because I know for me, you know, without Janine. I'd be a lost soul. And yet, the beauty is the balance now is I'm learning. Last time I went a week without talking to Janine, I almost jumped off Scott's roof. I canceled the show because I couldn't handle it. And, you know, but there's the maturity that's, you know, that's developing in me. And I believe, I don't even believe I know that I know is maturing in all of us that are ready to because I'm going to say it, this is something very important to me, is that there is a difference between managing the matrix and mm-hmm. leaving the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And this show and where I am and the message I share and the message you share, Marcia and Janine, we are sharing the message of leaving the matrix, not managing it. And people scratch their head, go, well, what's the difference? Well, listen to the show. We embrace the darkness. We embrace, we're not here judging each other, you know, based on our illnesses. In fact, we're not here judging each other at all. We're kind of supporting the journey of total awareness, you know, owning the space of who we are, because the way out of the matrix is balance. So
yeah.
If in my lifetime I need to be ill so my soul is balanced and it is now complete and ready to leave this experience as polarized matrix, well then that's what's coming down the pike for me. And that doesn't mean, and I love it that you don't lose your sense of humor, you don't lose your soul. You gain your soul. It's the people that are still, you know, swimming in the fishbowl of the matrix that are pointing fingers at those who are healthy. Those, you know, they're also the ones that, you know, you look at them and, you know, you see at age, you know, 40, they're freaking out. Like, I remember reading a story once that a woman was like 23 years old and had declared she'd never smile again because she didn't want crow's feet. And I was like,
oh, nice.
Wow, that's deep. Because me, I hope my whole face is full of wrinkles by the time I leave this great earth, because I've cracked up, laughed, and cried, and, you know, experienced everything. You know, it's not the vanity of having crow's feet that makes a difference, but if that's your journey, so be it. This radio show is not about that, clearly. Go ahead.
The thing about what if where we come from, well, where we all come from is absolute bliss. There's nothing else. So then here we're experiencing. We're diving in full force and experiencing life and experiencing ketchup chips, even though I hate them. But some people may like them.
What is it? What's a ketchup chip? Yeah.
Ketchup chips. I watched someone sit there, and they took these ketchup chips. They're gross to me. I don't like them.
I've never even heard of what is it, ketchup hardened?
They're chips, and they have, like, ketchup powder.
I watched them eat them.
Like, I've never seen, it's like smelling the greatest fragrant rose. They were just enjoying, totally at one with those ketchup chips. And I thought, that's a moment they will never forget. I know it's something weird, but it's ketchup chips. And it took them, they were totally immersed in them. Totally immersed. Bizarre.
Goldie, that reminds me of what she said when you told me that line where we come from a limitless place, so we come here to a vacation.
Exactly.
A
vacation and limitation. It's exactly right. Exactly what she's talking about. Yeah.
We come to experience that because that reminded me of that. But what I'm getting to from, you know, the way Marcia was feeling, and then the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing, and I love that snobbery word, because I find that a lot of people that really quote come to therapy based on some kind of unhappiness is because they've sort of been subjected to feeling snobbery. Because, you know, I don't discount feelings, and I think a lot of people in all their lives have learned to, like, feel that their feelings are not supposed to be felt.
Right.
Just like you're not supposed to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, or you're only supposed to eat this, or you're only supposed to eat that, and you're not supposed to feel these things. And so I love that feeling snobbery, because that I tell them, yeah, feel that. That's your feelings. You should feel that. Don't be afraid of your feelings. And it's like,
right.
Who told you that? You know, and uh-huh. and yeah, and it's the same premise, you know, that there's this, it's, you know, I mean, it's just, it's an untruth. And why?
It's a limited truth. It's a limited truth.
It is.
Right.
And
hence the vacation and limitation. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I find that whole bias to the foods you eat, that you're not supposed to have illnesses, you know, you're not supposed to feel, you know, these things. Why not? We're here.
Or
and
grow old.
What?
Or grow old.
Well, you're not supposed to age, right? She said, right, we're not supposed to age, according to Hollywood.
And dying is not good either. Dying.
What is? Oh, dying,
you should
right.
escape.
Right.
Dying or dying?
Oh, my God, it is a gift. I would
Wait.
Be bored.
No, you're right, because
I think she said
know.
Dying, Janine, dying.
Oh, I thought crying.
Right.
Oh, no. Dying is
dying.
No, too. We have to escape.
Well, but actually men are not supposed to cry. That is part of the culture as well. Crying is
right.
bad,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Right, so
yeah.
that's the feeling snobbery.
Again. No, but I think it's important that we, because
yeah.
see, as we bring awareness to it, we can really understand that, again, when we're leaving the matrix, this is embodied. It's so funny. You want to leave the matrix, embody it all. You want to stay in the matrix, keep things outside of you because you're too good for them. Because
I was going to just, because something was really, really important about this thing that someone had wrote today to remind me, and I thought of all the elders I met. I thought of all the old people I met who were carrying miraculous gifts, just amazing. They lived in a ramshackle house, dressed badly, and they were poor.
Right.
And in our society, we think backwards. These same people were absolutely extraordinarily elegant people within.
Right on, babe.
They didn't have
right
time.
On.
They did not have time to be phony. They didn't
right.
want to make time.
Right
and they
on.
Didn't care about their surroundings so much, because their house was always messed up by the people who had come for help.
Right on. Oh,
you know,
that is such... Right on. Right. And I'll tell you, because
really
I live...
They didn't care if their sofa wasn't
pristine.
Adequate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
their house was always a wreck. They...
Well,
you know,
and you ever notice... You know whose houses are the mess? The houses where everybody's spending time at. The houses
yeah,
that are exactly. perfectly pristine. You know, I've been in those houses. Nobody goes in that room. Oh, how nice. You know, like, you look at it and go, well, that's a waste of space. Nobody
so
goes in that room.
And then what I noticed what happened, you know, I went to see... a friend of mine years ago taught me reflexology. I haven't went along. I've finished the course, but I have to do the feet, his feet.
Okay.
And
right.
go pick up my certificate, right? Well, I haven't did it. It's been about 6-8 years. So he says to me, Marsh, those pesky papers, eh? He says, man's papers. Don't they irritate you? He knew me so well. And he says, the thing is about those pesky papers, what they'll do is they'll pay you for what you already do. I said, I have no argument. He says, yeah, but see if you can get it done in my lifetime, because I was the one to die.
Oh,
and, you know, the clock is ticking. I'm 67. But he told me about...
So
I don't even know if he's crossed. Every now and again I tell him, hey, I might come and see you this year.
That's a great story. You share wonderful
anyway,
stories.
He,
I love it.
He told me about his friend who is in the States. He was Terry Brunell is a very well-rounded man who discovered his healing gift when he was in his 30s. And he traveled all over the world to meet all these people. And he ended up meeting these people in ramshackle places who ended up having the true gifts. And one of the men he met when he was younger was a man who was a reflexologist who he spent about 8 months with, and he watched him. He'd have lineups outside of his door, and he helped the poor. And they would come in and receive treatment, and he always had enough, not more than enough, but he didn't really notice that. And out of his caring, he created these orthotics for people's shoes because he realized that their bones and whatnot were not, or their legs were shorter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And someone came into his house, a medical person, a doctor or a nurse or someone like that, came to his house and watched him work and asked, because one of the patients explained to him what happened, and this is why I'm walking better. And people started hearing, medical people started hearing about this, so someone went to his house, copied the patent, and now we have Dr. Schultz.
Oh, wow.
And he, yeah, but he did
they
not
stole it?
One penny of
right,
that.
Right, they kind of came in and lifted
so,
it.
He said to me, Marcia, I've been traveled all over the world, and it's the same thing. The real people create those things, and the ones over here come in, take it, and profit from it.
You,
and they
you know what we talk? You know what this is? This is Tesla, and
who's
the
guy?
Talking about Tesla.
We were just
talking,
and who's the guy who did our electricity?
Yeah.
Edison.
Edison, thank you. Yeah. Tesla invented everything, but you know what? Tesla invented free energy, and so they took Edison and marketed it through, you know, what I said to Janine recently was the way we do our electricity with the telephone poles of electricity and everything is it's our puppy fence. So, you know, consciousness only goes out so far, and then we reach that frequency that keeps us in. I mean, you're right on the money with that, Marcia. Because and again, because there are those that need to serve the matrix. There are those who are leaving the matrix.
Yep. And
we start seeing
authentic.
And the authentic ones, because I'm really realizing more and more, there's no anger towards those in the matrix. If anything, there's humor. It's like the grandmother laughing at the child, you know, that's running around the house going, 2 + 2 = 5, 2 + 2 = 5. And it's like, you kind of pat them on the head and go, okay, you know, run along. You'll get it. Don't worry. At some point, you'll get it. And there's nothing to get our arms up in the air about. It's not about that. It's about, you know, where the journey we're on serves our purpose, and we resonate with it. And the journey that they're on serves their purpose. It's just taking us in different directions. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, what a great
And that's
story.
Okay.
Marconi, who actually took his refrigeration system and sold it to GE and the radio part of it.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Bravo first.
I read his life story, eh? Tesla?
Right.
Yeah,
and
Amazing.
Yeah, he's, life story.
Yeah.
We only got two more minutes.
Oh, okay.
We're at the top of the hour. No, and Ayala just asked me, are you guys going overtime? And BTR doesn't let us do overtime other than, like, just about 5 minutes. And I want to play a song come out of this. But, Marcia, we love when you call. Truly. I love
Thank
it.
You, Marcia.
Love you. Love your shares. Love everything
great.
About
you.
Oh,
I love you guys. You're great.
Yeah. Yeah, you're amazing.
Love you too.
Definitely stay in touch. Definitely stay in touch.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Oh, that's you, Janine. Janine, can you tell everybody where people can find you?
Oh, okay. It's my website is jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com, or I'm on Facebook and look on Goldie's page. You'll find me and her friends. Thank you,
nice.
Goldie.
Oh, thank you, Janine. Thank you, Marcia and Ayala and Kestrel. Yeah, everybody that shared tonight. What an amazing tonight was awesome.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, I feel very renewed. I feel renewed, and the song. I want to play a song because you know what?
Okay.
The message I kind of want to, you know, I think that we're leaving everybody with is, you know, exactly what is what's supposed to be. Whether we're managing the matrix or whether we're leaving the matrix, it really is exactly what is perfect. And
okay.
With that, I'm going to play a song and then I'm going to close out the show. So thank you, everybody, and we'll talk to you guys next week. I love you. Thank you, Janine.
I love you too. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Let it be.